From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where we hear from politicians and experts on the issues of the day.
On Saturday week, the people of the New South Wales federal seat of Eden Monaro will be the first voters to give a judgment on the relative performances of Scott Morrison and Anthony Albanese. The seat is held by Labor on a margin just under 1%, and it's fair to say that Albanese has more at stake in this contest than does Scott Morrison. The last time a government won a seat from an opposition at a federal by-election was a century ago. The patchy recovery from the summer's devastating bushfires is a significant issue in the by-election, which feeds into concerns about climate change. The economic fallout from the pandemic is worrying many people, with local industries and especially tourism very badly hit. Morrison hopes the positive marks that he's won during the virus crisis will offset the marking down he received for his poor performance during the fires. Labor is campaigning hard on the fact that the government's JobKeeper program ends late September. It's not clear what more aid will follow from the government or how many businesses and workers will fall off another cliff after September. Both Morrison and Albanese are making regular visits to the seat, but Albanese was early out of the blocks at a time when the coalition was bogged down in embarrassing shenanigans over who should be the candidate. The government is also putting in some big dollars for local industries hit by the fires and the pandemic. Eden Monaro is large and diverse. Its main centre is Queanbeyan, which is cheek by jowl with Canberra, and contains a big cohort of government workers, especially public servants who have jobs just over the border. The seat also takes in coastal areas housing many retirees, as well as farming communities. It became vacant because of the retirement of the popular Labor MP Mike Kelly on health grounds. Both the Labor and the Liberal parties are running women with strong attachment to the electorate, although given its sprawling nature, neither is well known through the entire seat. There's a field of 14 in the by-election, but the contest is only between Labor and Liberal. Labor's candidate is Christy McBain, who, as mayor of Bega, had a very high profile during the bushfires. The Liberals are running Fiona Cotvoys, who operates a small business and also is a farmer. She pushed Kelly very close at last year's election. The pandemic has shaped campaigning, and not just the way the contenders are operating. There's been a huge demand for postal votes. As of Wednesday, more than 13% of electors had applied for them. And already more than 12% of voters have pre-polled, some no doubt not wanting to rub shoulders in queues on election day. In this podcast, we speak to Christy McBain and to Fiona Cotvoys. Christy McBain, you're carrying a lot of political weight in this campaign, given that a loss of this seat would be a big blow for Anthony Albanese. No pressure?
Look, when I decided to run in this by-election, I decided to do it for the people of Eden Monaro. Whatever attention I can bring to the issues that are facing people in Eden Monaro hopefully means that they are going to get some attention, get some of their issues addressed. We've faced a triple whammy in Eden Monaro with droughts, bushfires, and COVID-19. And the conversation has largely moved on from drought, but, you know, everywhere around me, everyone's still in drought. We know the bushfire recovery has been slow, and we've still got people that are seriously impacted. And on the back of that bushfire disaster so quickly came COVID. So we've got businesses that are really struggling and you know, are living day to day. We've got people that really don't have any idea of whether they've got any job security. With JobKeeper potentially being phased out in September, I've got, you know, people that are really concerned about what they'll do next. So the pressure for me is about people in the Eden Monaro getting their stories out there, getting some attention brought back to the issues that they're facing. So regardless of what happens on July 4, I'm happy that there's been some attention brought back to the people of Eden Monero, and I hope that attention will continue after the by-election, because it's these people, their real life stories, they're the ones that need attention.
What are the logistics for you of this campaign, because it's in peculiar circumstances?
Yeah, look, it has been very different campaigning with COVID-19 restrictions in place. We've travelled about 9,000 kilometres so far across the electorate. There's been hundreds of phone calls made to people. There's been numerous online meetings with different groups and different areas. We've had one-on-one discussions with businesses and residents. So whilst it's been a little bit different than normal, I think it's been a much more personalised campaign, because we have been talking to people one-on-one and trying to get a real good understanding of their issues, so that what we're bringing forward in this by-election, you know, isn't something that the Labor Party is running. It's something that we are bringing forward from people on the ground, as it should be.
There have been a few awkward moments, though. I think on one occasion in Queanbeyan, when you and Anthony Albanese were doing a street walk, there seemed to be no one, or virtually no one, to encounter.
Yeah, no, look, I think it's fantastic to see so many people taking the advice of our healthcare professionals. It was fantastic. The street walk in Queanbeyan wasn't necessarily about running into people. It was actually going to support a local business and having a chat to a couple of people in particular. So, you know, you didn't see a whole range of people around us, but that wasn't the intention.
You're looking on the bright side, even though apparently it was a very cold day.
Yeah, well, right across Eden Monero, campaigning in May, June and July is obviously going to come with some very cold days. We're at Tumut today. We've been at Yass and Wundaroo and Jindabyne and Thredbo last week. So we've encountered some cold days, and there's still a few more to come.
Now, postal votes are at a very high level in the campaign so far, and Labor apparently has been more than usually active on this front. Usually Labor seems to assume that those wanting postal votes are more likely to lean Conservative. Do you think it's different this time?
Look, I think people right across Eden Monero want to partake in this by-election, but we still have a range of people that are isolating for a range of different reasons. So making sure that people feel comfortable voting in this by-election was a priority, and whether that's done by postal vote or by pre-poll or on election day, it's important for people to make their vote. So The key for us was making sure that people had options, and I know that a number of people have taken up the postal vote, and there's already been a range of people pre-poll, and I assume that there'll be a lot more people pre-poll before election day.
Now, you mentioned the problems of the electorate, but what issues are coming through most strongly from the voters you're talking to, and who are they blaming for what, and what are they asking for?
Yeah, look, obviously bushfire recovery is on the forefront of everybody's mind, and making sure that there's a coordinated approach to not only response in bushfires but also recovery. You know, there has to be a seamless communication between the three levels of government, and Eden Monero is in that position of actually having two cross-border neighbours with both Victoria and the ACT. And what we saw during the bushfire season was fires crossing borders. So communication between different jurisdictions is key for people. Local jobs and security. People want to plan it and want to know that there are local jobs for them to have into the future. You know, we've put forward a proactive jobs plan, because people of Eden Monero actually need to know that people are planning for their future. So, you know, around fixing local roads, whether that's the Barton Highway duplication or building Duns Creek Road, mobile phone black spots. We know we've got so many across the Eden Monero. We've got poor internet connectivity in so many different places. It's really hard for people to grow their business or establish a new business when they don't have access to mobile phones or internet. So that's another key priority. an understanding of what's going to happen with JobKeeper. We've got businesses who literally haven't had many customers since the turn of 2020. Last week in Thredbo, having a chat to one of the business owners there, he's only used his FPOSH machine twice in 2020. Firstly, it was bushfire evacuation. Then it was COVID. Now the ski season has started late and will only be at 50% capacity. So we've got people that are really unsure whether they'll be able to actually make it to their next big season. So extending JobKeeper to people across Eden Monaro to at least December to get them to the next season would be a key priority. And making sure that there's local jobs targets on projects such as Snowy Hydro 2.0 or within the National Bushfire Recovery Agency. Recoveries need to be locally led and they should be employing locals first. And with Snowy too, I mean, we need to make sure that local jobs are first on those projects, and we should be talking about Snowy 3 and 4 at the same time.
Now, you mentioned the ski season, which has just started. What are you hearing about demand? Obviously, as you say, capacity will be limited, but are people wanting to go skiing?
Yeah, look, we know that a range of people have waited hours and hours on end on different websites to get lift tickets, but there is a capacity. And what we heard from business owners that some people booked weekend accommodation to come to the ski fields but couldn't get lift tickets on the same day. So there has to obviously be some coordination there, but whilst people want to come, I think logistically it's going to be very difficult for the ski season this year because of the impost of social distancing. They're at a 50% reduction, and that depends on which runs are open. So it's going to be very difficult for the industry this winter. They're giving it their best shot, as we do in regional areas. We put our best foot forward. And they're going to try their hardest to make a go of it.
To what extent do issues vary according to where you are in the electorate? Because it does seem to me a number of the things you've been speaking about are not issues that would necessarily be to the forefront of people's minds in Queanbeyan, where very many people would be employed, including over the border in Canberra. Are you finding that there's a lot of difference according to where you are?
Yeah, obviously it's a really diverse electorate. It's a diverse landscapes and diverse communities. We've obviously got the coastal fringe. We've got the Monaro Plains and the agricultural areas in Yass. We've got the mountains and obviously the southwest slope. So it is a really diverse area. The Queanbeyan end of the electorate, you know, they're concerned about public service jobs, just like many other people across the Monaro are concerned about their job stability. We know that there are a number of food projects right across the electorate which would stimulate jobs as well. And roads projects aren't unique to one particular area. Everybody's got a roads project that they'd love to get up. Mobile phone black spots and internet connectivity, that affects everybody right across the electorate. So there are a number of things that are very standard across the electorate, but our communities are very diverse as well. So there are always going to be particular issues around certain areas, but I've been interested to hear that so many of those issues are the same regardless of where you are.
You're, however, from the coastal area and not so well known in Queanbeyan. Are you having to spend a lot of your time there just to make people familiar with you?
Yeah, look, I've actually lived up in the Queanbeyan and Canberra region for over 10 years. I did uni and started my working career up there, and the first law firm I worked at had offices in Yass and Queanbeyan. You know, we holiday every year in Jindabyne as a family. We do it. We've got a trout fishing trophy and a competition that takes place. You know, we also ski. I was in Tumut in December last year. And I'm also was the deputy chair of the Canberra Region Joint Organisation, which takes in all the local government areas within the Eden Monaro electorate. So I've already been championing a range of projects for different areas in the Eden Monaro with state and federal government politicians, because that was part of my role on the joint organisation. So I think that some people actually know me quite well in some of the areas that I'm not from. But, yeah, look, it's going to be a challenge to get everybody familiar with me, but that's the challenge I've accepted.
Obviously, Mike Kelly, the former member, was quite popular, very popular in the electorate and had a personal vote. Is he helping you at all in your campaign?
Yeah, look, Mike's been fabulous. I've known Mike for years, obviously, as the local member, and worked with him closely when I was the mayor and a councillor on Bega Valley Shire. Mike's been fabulous in giving me lots of tips and information on a range of different things. He was a really well-liked guy who worked with people, and people got along with him. He wasn't somebody that was, you know, super keen on partisan politics, and I think that's why people really liked him. And I'll have big shoes to fill, literally and figuratively, if I'm elected as the next member for Eden Monaro.
Are you super keen on partisan politics, or do you think we need a new style of politics?
That's part of the reason I'm running, is because I think everybody's sick of old politics. You know, this idea that you govern for only the people that vote for you. You know, when you're elected to represent everybody, whether they agree with you or not. You know, you should be hearing them out. And I want to make sure that people in Eden Monaro continue to have a strong, fair voice in Canberra for them. And now more than ever, we have a range of challenges right across Eden Monaro. And I'll make sure that I work to put the people of Eden Monaro first.
Now, the issues of branch stacking, spectacularly in Victoria but also in New South Wales, have grabbed some headlines during the campaign period. Have people on the ground raised this with you?
Not one person, Michelle. As I've said earlier, people are really struggling with a whole range of things across Eden Monaro at the moment. Bushfire recovery, with job uncertainty, not knowing what's going to happen with JobKeeper. Nobody has raised branch stacking because it doesn't affect their personal day-to-day lives. And if we can keep the attention on the people of Eden Monaro and how they're doing in this time after, you know, as I said, the triple whammy of disasters that we've suffered, then I think that would be a fantastic thing.
Canberra University did some focus group research in the electorate in the last week or so, and found people thought that Anthony Albanese had not had much of a profile during the COVID crisis, even though he's been out campaigning with you a great deal. Do you think it's hard for him to cut through on the national stage at this point?
Yeah, well, I think the Labor Party have, you know, we were the ones that suggested wage subsidies. We've been the ones trying to suggest picking up those people that have missed out on wage subsidies in the arts and entertainment sector, in casualised employment. You know, there's been a $60 billion underspend on the wage subsidy announcement, and no review of how that will impact people if that money is not spent. It's obviously been hard for Anthony Albanese, who's been shut out of national cabinet. So, look, what I would say is that I think everybody has tried their best to pull together during what's been a difficult time. But as I said, people in Eden Monaro have had a difficult time for a long time now. And this by-election has put the spotlight back on a region that so sorely needs it. So hopefully in the next week and a half, we're going to see a lot more money being thrown at this by the government, because these people definitely need it.
Christine McBain, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Fiona Kotvois, what issues are coming through from the voters in this by-election?
There's two key issues. One is about recovery after the fires and after COVID, and the other is in terms of rebuilding our economy. So in terms of the first one, what we need to do is to look at getting more consistency and an integrated approach between the three levels of government, having a single list for how we're going to address it and addressing everybody who is affected by the bushfires. And that's something that I see really important in my role to do. In terms of the rebuilding the economy, that's all about jobs. It's small business because that's the key issue or the key employer across our whole electorate. It's agriculture, it's primary production because that's the other areas, forestry, dairy, beef. Those areas are really critical. And working with them to keep the jobs that are there in place and then get our economy going quickly so that more jobs will come back.
So these issues seem national, state, local. They seem very integrated. Do you think that people are thinking nationally and making a judgment about the federal government or are thinking particularly locally?
Well, I think people are thinking locally. Those issues and issues like infrastructure and communications, all of those issues are really cross-sectoral issues where all three levels deliver on them. All three levels have to work together. But at the heart of it, it is all about the local issues and how it impacts people locally. So we need to have the three levels working together so that that happens effectively and addresses all of those issues.
Now, pre-polling has started for the by-election, even though it's now more than a week away. What sort of feel are you getting from talking to people on the pre-poll booths? Are you getting any sense of the way this is likely to go?
Look, it's going to be a very close election. This seat is always very close. And by-elections historically, I think it's 100 years since a government has taken a seat in a by-election off the opposition. So they are tough. But people have a really important choice to make, and that is who brings the breadth of skills and the breadth of experience to be able to represent them and work for them well, and who will have a strong voice in government to be able to deliver.
How much is this a contest in the voters' minds between two women who all the commentators have said are both capable local people and have a profile in the electorate, or between a government and an opposition?
Look, I guess it's a bit of both, but the reality is ultimately it comes down to who can get the job done, and that's the key thing. And people just need to think, who can get the job done for our community? Who's demonstrated that in the past? And I've certainly worked on that area and done that over a long time and been very much involved in my community. You know, it's shaped who I am, and that's what I give back to. So people need to think about who can get the job done.
You ran Mike Kelly very close in the general election. What differences are you finding this time compared to a year ago?
It's been a horrendous 6 months for everybody. You know, I'm in the RFS. We spent in Bega Valley and Yirrabadalla. We spent almost 6 weeks fighting fires. It wasn't until the 4th of March that they were declared as being extinguished. That's a long time following, and everybody was affected, whether your property was burnt or not. Our property was, saved our home. We were able to defend that. But that's affected everybody. And then on top of that, just as we're sort of getting into some recovery and just as people are getting the services that they needed to support them and all that, that process is in place, we have COVID. And that hits us all again. You know, it's been really tough. So because of that, we are all in a different place across this whole electorate to where we were. Some of the issues are the same. You know, we had jobs was a key issue before. The economy was a key issue before. Infrastructure, communications, they were key issues. But it's all from a different perspective. And people's hearts are in a different place. This is a community where we need somebody who will listen, who will work with the community. We need somebody who can take their needs and make sure that they are delivered on. And that is really critical. you know, I've worked in Lifeline. I was a Lifeline counsellor for 10 years. I was a Youthline counsellor. I volunteer as a director with Oxfam Australia. I've been in the Army Reserve 8, Rural Fire Service for the last 10 years. We need somebody who understands and works with our community across this whole electorate.
So it's obviously a very stressed out electorate. Are people resentful that they have to vote, especially in these circumstances?
Look, I don't think anybody is resentful that they have to vote at all. I think most people I've spoken to recognise that this is an important decision and that we have 2 years where Scott Morrison will be the Prime Minister and we have the current government and that they need to make a choice as to who is going to be the most effective person to deliver for our community, and that is critical. Most people I've spoken to recognise that. But, you know, we all just want to get on with life and see things progress and have things progress, and that's my focus, getting rebuild done and getting the recovery done.
What's it like campaigning in these rather extraordinary COVID circumstances?
Well, last time I did this, I spent a lot of time travelling all across the electorate. I think I was doing 1,500 to 2,000 Ks a week for 8 months, and I met with every men's shed, CWA, sports group, business group, school PNC, you name it, across the electorate I possibly could, and spoke with people. I listened to them and I took forward a lot of needs from that base, that, you know, based on those discussions. And we got a lot of those agreed and the commitments have all been delivered on. This time it's really different. You can't do that. So this time it's involved me spending a lot more time on the telephone, ringing people, talking to people at pre-poll, talking to people through Zoom meetings with various groups. You know, we had a Zoom meeting just last night for National Farmers. I've spoken to a number of business chambers, again through Zoom. There's been a whole range of things, but it's been less face-to-face contact and more via technology, really, which makes things a bit different. Probably also more people would have experienced more things in their letterbox and more telephone calls as a consequence. You know, we've been doing teletown halls. That's been great. People have really appreciated those and the opportunity to speak to myself and the minister or the prime minister and ask questions directly and get the answers.
Now, the University of Canberra has done some focus group research and climate change came through as a very strong issue with people's perceptions of that and concerns about that sharpened by the bushfires. Have you found this?
Well, I think people are facing a whole range of issues. Climate change is one of those issues, but people are also equally concerned about infrastructure and the need for roads and improved roads and connectivity across the area, particularly local roads. People are also concerned about our communications. You know, we've got 34 mobile black spots have been put in under the Liberal government. Sorry, the towers for the mobile black spots have been put in. But what we need to do is still get more. It is a really difficult electorate because of the geography, and that is something that I will be focusing on. So there's a range of issues for people.
So have you found people talking about climate change, though?
To be honest, it's not one of the issues that people raise any more than anything else with me.
I noticed at the start of the campaign that you were very anxious to clarify your position on climate change and to say you were a believer in it and concerned about it. Yet previously you have shown some doubts about, for example, the threat of rising sea levels to Pacific countries. Have you changed your views on this issue?
So I've been working in this area since the early 1990s. I actually managed the installation of sea level monitoring stations across the Pacific in the early 1990s. So it's an area I know quite well. My position hasn't changed. So what I believe in is that the climate is changing, and I believe that humans are contributing to that change, and we need to respond to that. We need to reduce our emissions. We have a plan. We're doing that. We need to increase our resilience and look at ways to adapt. And there are a whole range of strategies to do that. That's what I believe.
JobKeeper is due to end in late September. Are voters telling you that it should be extended?
Well, I think the really important thing with JobKeeper is that it was legislated for 6 months. So it came out very quickly when COVID emerged. Very quickly to be able to keep businesses open, people in jobs, and certainly across this electorate, small businesses told me that without JobKeeper, They would not have been able to keep their doors open. They would not have been able to keep people in jobs. So it's been a fantastic program. At the same time, what we need to have is a flexible system. And for me, it's been very positive to see that as the economy changes, as things develop, the Morrison government has been very fast in responding in very targeted ways to meet the specific needs of different industries across our electorate and across Australia. Now, we're halfway through with JobKeeper. There is a review occurring this month that was scheduled at the start that it would occur halfway through, and that will determine the way we move forward. But we need to keep that flexibility. The Prime Minister has said very clearly that he will ensure that businesses are supported through this and out of it, and that that has to be flexible. And that's what we'll do.
So are you expecting, for example, a special tourism package to come forth soon? Because obviously tourism has been shattered in the electorate.
The key thing for all small businesses is to get back on their feet as quickly as possible. And the government is putting in packages and support to enable that. It has been incredibly positive to see the numbers of people who are coming from Sydney, the numbers coming from Canberra, from all over, into the coast, into Tumbarumba and the western side, all of our tourist areas, who are deliberately coming to spend money to help our communities to get back on their feet. And I've spoken to many small businesses that have said that's occurring. People are staying longer, they're spending more, they're putting their Christmas holiday money that they didn't spend then, they're spending it now. They're spending the money on that was set aside for airfares going overseas, they're spending that locally. What we need to have is we need to have more people focusing on spending locally and doing that. And that is the best way to get our economy back on its feet.
So no special package needed?
Look, I think the whole thing, as I said before, we need a flexible approach. And as we progress, there's another 3 months through to the end of the planning period at the moment. As things progress, the Prime Minister has very clearly stated that he will ensure that we have a responsive, flexible approach that meets the needs of small businesses and communities across Australia. What that will be, that's going to vary depending on what happens over the next 3 months. And can I encourage everybody that as they travel, as they're at home, everything they do, we follow the health advice. You know, we do keep our social distancing. We do wash our hands. We do use the sanitizers. We do carry the COVID app with us. And that is the best way to get things going forwards in that sense.
Just to go back to the bushfire recovery, the Prime Minister this week announced a pretty generous package of aid for the electorate and other electorates who'd been hit by bushfires and by COVID. This covered the forestry industry and other particular sectors. Do you believe that the federal government's response to the fires has been adequate, or is this catch up?
Michelle, I believe that the response has been quite fast. It's been very varied in terms of what has been delivered to meet the specific needs across the bushfire affected areas. We would all like it to be faster. We would all like to have some of the glitches that have been there because of lack of coordination between the three levels of government to be resolved. And that's something I will focus on. There are still some areas that I'm working on with the government and talking to the ministers about to see if we can get additional support to those areas. And I will continue to work on those to deliver for the community across Eden Monaro.
Now, just finally, I think what we've been seeing in recent months is people do want a different sort of politics. They want a more cooperative brand of politics. Obviously, a by-election is a contest, and so cooperation is minimal. But has this campaign been a clean campaign without too much personal abuse?
Well, certainly from amongst the candidates, that's definitely the case. It has been. And for me personally, I believe that the best way to move forward is always to have good, respectful dialogue about difference of opinions, because that's how you find solutions. Sitting in polarised endpoints does not find solutions. So having that good, respectful discussion. And that's exactly where I want to move forward. That's exactly the approach I've always taken in my career and in my, you know, work in the community. And for me, I believe that the plans that we are offering, they're strong, they're positive plans to move forward. And I'll be very much involved in dialogue with the community and across a whole different range of issues.
Fiona Cotvoyes, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks, Michelle. Good to be here.
And that's all for this Conversation Politics podcast. But keep an eye on the conversation for more reports about Eden Monaro and, of course, for an analysis of the result when the election's held on July 4. We'll be back with another interview soon, but goodbye for now.
Our theme music is by Lee Rosevere. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.